getting your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In those very Crossbreed Holster Studios, I love this part of my week. I love sitting here talking with you about your right to bear arms and the things and the people that impact that and what it means to you when we face this onslaught, this attack on our freedoms, and we do. But I'm going to throw out my theory in just a minute. First, I want to introduce Amber Cuno. Amber is going to stay with me, our newest Armed American Radio contributor out there in beautiful Arizona. Amber, how are you? Welcome to the hour, this hour of Armed American Radio.
I'm great. Thank you.
Our guest is a good one this week. We have Dr. John Lott on, and I know More Guns, Less Crime, now third edition, Understanding Crime and Gun Control Laws. And I know that you had a homework assignment. You're partway into that. You're just digging into that now.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's deep stuff.
It is deep stuff. We tell people that all the time. But before we go right to John, I want to set this up so that I can kind of bring the conversation up with Mr. Lott when he joins us in a second. And that is my take on the election. I think, and maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't agree with me, but I believe that gun control at the federal level was dealt a very serious blow during the aftermath of the November elections. Would you agree with that, Amber?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's huge. Stuff is changing.
It is changing. There's no question about that. And I believe that the federal level of gun control was dealt a significant blow.
Mm-hmm.
However, we're going to see that shift now to the states, and that's evident by what we saw in Washington State with Initiative 594, the passage of that, overwhelming passage of that at 60% plus of the electorate voting for the background check initiative, and the failure of its competitive initiative, I-591, that you heard talked about on Armed American Radio every week leading up to the election for the last several months. Dr. John Lott, New York Times bestselling author, More Guns, Less Crime, Understanding Crime and Gun Control Laws, now in its third edition, among others, and Fox News contributor and economist. Dr. Lott, welcome to the show. How are you, John? It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Great to talk to you, Mark.
Okay, I've got to go here. My assessment, you and I had a fascinating conversation off air about this very topic, and I think listeners could really benefit from this, John. Tell me your thoughts on what happened in November. What did America say on the elections November 4th? What were we told?
Well, I mean, I think at the federal level, you're right. Gun control advocates did lose a lot of members. I mean, probably the Arizona 2nd District, very close race. They're going to have to do a recount, but Gabrielle Giffords' group alone put in at least $1.5 million into that race. Others did, Barber and McSally. And I think generally people that lost, like Pryor and Beckage in Alaska, they were kind of fair-weather friends when it would come to gun issues. You know, they would... When Rand Paul had tried to move to get rid of gun-free zones at post offices, they instead tried to put in legislation that would just ban gun-free zones in the parking lots of post offices, trying to water down that effort, and we saw that multiple times. So I think that's positive. On the negative side, as you say, you have the initiative in Washington State. Already, I guess, this last week, they filed signatures for Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my concern. I honestly believe, unfortunately, that the main reason for pushing that initiative is just to make it costly for people to be able to go and buy or obtain guns. And so even the proponents in Washington State of the expanded background check were saying it could cost $60. To go and go through an FFL to transfer a firearm. That's a real tax for somebody. You know, if you're a couple $100 gun or something that you're trying to obtain, that can make the difference between whether you obtain it or not. In
sure.
Some places, like Washington, D.C., it's like $200. I think a solution is possible there because I think it's hard to go and win this to explain, particularly with the amount of money that was spent in that race, like $9.5 million by the proponents of that additional gun control. And my solution is to have a federal law or an amendment to the budget that would say if a state or local government imposes a tax, a fee, or an unfunded mandate on somebody obtaining a weapon, then they lose federal funding, you know, for some type, some projects that the federal government would be giving them money for. And the idea is essentially that you have, with regard to the First Amendment, if a state tried to put a two-penny tax on a newspaper, it would be struck down. The courts have said that you can't tax a fundamental right. And I think the same type of argument should apply to being able to obtain a gun. The courts have already said that's a fundamental right. I don't think you're going to win that case in the courts yet, but you can begin to build that type of base by going to through a law like that. And I think it would just decimate the motivation for why these people are trying to push these laws, because, as I say, I think the thing they care most about is trying to reduce gun ownership by making it costly for people to obtain guns.
All right, let's break some of this down. Sean, are you with me? Sean, are you on the mic?
Yes.
Okay. John, during, actually before, and we didn't even get to talk with Amber about this, but before the first segment of the first hour of this program, Sean wanted to know if you knew Dr. Jonathan Gruber at MIT.
A little bit. I mean, okay. It's been a number of years. I've met him before in the past.
Well, his exposure about how they went through and what they did, the extent that they went to deceive Americans about the passage of that law, doesn't that get into also, because I kind of used it as an analogy to inside the mind of Bloomberg. It's that elitist mentality that they will lie. Is the gun control group, do you believe the gun control side is doing the same thing when they tell us about these ballot initiatives or what the ultimate goal for what they're trying to accomplish is? Are they using the same techniques?
Right. Well, I mean, we see incorrect information put out all the time. You have a number that even the Washington Post has called them on, this claim that 40% of gun sales are done without a background check. I mean, it's ridiculously false information. But yet you saw Mark Kelly, Gabrielle Giffords' husband, was constantly making that claim. You see others making that type of claim. The president's making it. And yet even, you know, a liberal organization like the Washington Post, you know, has called them on it, but it still hasn't stopped them from doing that. And you have to wonder why they keep on insisting or why they feel it's necessary to use such false information in order to try to make their point. I think it shows a lack of confidence on them in terms of what justification they have for what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I think they know that Americans cherish their Second Amendment rights, our First Amendment rights, all of our freedoms. And, you know, the Second Amendment has been proven time after time after time that when gun control becomes an issue on the ballot, particularly the federal level, we haven't seen it at the state level like we are getting ready to see it now yet, but we're going to see how that battle plays out. But it's generally a loser for them. These elections were huge. I mean, as you mentioned just a few moments ago, you know, I think the NRA-backed candidates were over 90 to 95% successful across the country. Amber, they'll lie, won't they? They'll lie and deceive to pass what it is they want to pass, won't they? I mean, is that your gut feeling too?
Yeah, it's totally what I'm seeing with them, and it's just ridiculous. I can't believe it.
Well, it is sometimes. You scratch your head, you look back and you scratch your head, and you wonder what in the world is going on. All right, John. The state level, the ballot initiative in Washington, coming up at the bottom of this hour, I have an individual by the name of Donald Turner coming on. Donald Turner is the head of the president of Nevada Coalition, the Nevada Firearms Coalition. And he told me some fascinating things that I didn't know. I won't steal all of his thunder, but suffice to say that Bloomberg is extremely active. The front groups are extremely active in Nevada right now.
Right.
The petitions, as you said, have been turned. Okay, Sean's telling me we have 30 seconds, so I'll set it up with this and then turn it over to you when we come back. The petitions, as you said, have in fact been turned in. They're looking at the amount of those petitions, the amount of names on those petitions based by congressional district to see to it that they, in fact, followed Nevada law. And he's going to explain to us what, when we come back at the bottom of the hour, how it breaks down and how we can fight it at the state level. And I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't look good. If your state allows these ballot initiatives.
It's going to get on the ballot.
Right, it's going to get on. There's,
right.
So hold that thought. When we come back after the break, I'll turn the mic over to you. We're running out of time. We'll be right back with Amber Cuno and with Dr. John Lott right after this.
You're awakened in the middle of the night to the sound of glass breaking and muffled voices in your house. There's no time to think. This is it. You're forced to use your gun to defend your loved ones from the intruders. But here's the part you never see in the movies. When the smoke clears, you'll have to prove your innocence in a court of law. And that's where the United States Concealed Carry Association comes in. Don't fall victim to a shameless DA or a bleeding heart jury. Activate your USCCA membership today and be instantly protected by up to $1.1 million in legal and financial horsepower. Just visit DefendFamilyNow.com to witness how the USCCA can help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family if you're ever forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. Also, act before midnight on Black Friday, and we'll throw in two special bonuses absolutely free. Just visit DefendFamilyNow.com. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
The Galco SC2 is the perfect concealed carry holster for all seasons. The SC2 is lightweight and comfortable with a snap-on design that allows the holster to attach and detach from your belt without removing the belt itself. Constructed of premium saddle leather, the SC2 utilizes a reinforced thumb brake strap for added retention. Check out the Galco SC2 for semi-automatics and double-action revolvers. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order, visit GalcoGunLeather.com.
Ever wish you could find a concealed carry holster that allows wearing the clothing of your choice with absolutely no restrictions on body movements? A concealed carry holster that provides such deep concealment that no one will know you're carrying unless you tell them. The world-famous Smart Carry Holster does just that while providing complete invisibility, total comfort, and freedom of movement even when carrying a full-size handgun. Make your gun disappear in total comfort today. Visit SmartCarry.com now.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com.
Car Arms introduces the new addition to their double-action micro-compact pistol line, the CW380, with a 2.5-inch barrel, an overall length under 5 inches, and standing under 4 inches tall. The CW380 weighs just 10.2 ounces, making it the perfect choice for lawful concealed carry. The micro-compact CW380 allows rapid-fire follow-up shots with little recoil and retails for under $420. The new CW380 from Car Arms. Carry one today.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you'll meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
We'll be right back.
This is Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom every week and giving you a voice. Heard coast to coast on the Armed American Radio Network. Here again is Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios here on the Armed American Radio Network. I love saying that. It's great to be here with you today. I hope you're enjoying the conversation and the 50,000 watts of power that Sean is still playing in the background. There he goes. He knows I like that. It isn't pushing. It could be pushing overload if you can't wrap your head around this stuff. Maybe if you follow Jonathan Gruber, it's pushing overload. I don't know.
I was just going to ask you if it was a little bit over Goober's, Gruber's.
Well, he exposed a lot more than the Affordable Care Act. I believe what he did was he exposed the tactics of the elitist left, and I've had a lot of fun reading some of that stuff, and yes, we will dig into that and analyze that in the next hour.
Absolutely.
With David Kodria, and it will be really, really fascinating. Amber Cuno.
Walters.
Welcome back to the show. I'm glad you stuck around with us. John Lott, let's go right back to you. I'm going to turn the mic over to you from the state side and just let you continue with where we are. People need to hear this. It's very important.
Right. Well, I guess I would take a different approach in terms of fighting against this. You have to ask yourself, what's the main motivation behind pushing these initiatives? And I think it's just to make it costly, unfortunately. I mean, I wish I would say otherwise, but I think, unfortunately, the motivation is just to make it costly for people to have guns. So I think there's a real reason to object to these types of unfunded mandates, which I would call mandating somebody have to go to an FFL to transfer a gun as an unfunded mandate. You have a cost, but the government's not compensating you for that. And the people that it hurts the most are basically poor blacks. The people most likely to be victims of violent crimes who need guns the most, they're the ones that a $60 tax or even a $40 effective tax on them obtaining a gun can make the difference between whether or not they're going to be able to effectively defend themselves. And so I think if you take that away by having the type of laws that I'm talking about here, and, you know, at a state level, maybe you have to have a state constitutional amendment that would say that, just like with the First Amendment, with a fundamental right, you can't tax it. To have the same thing for the fundamental right for the second, for people defending themselves, I think that would take the wind out of the sails. I mean, now there's still lots of crazy things in this initiative. For example, the fact that if a woman is being stalked in Washington State and she's a friend of yours, you can't loan her a gun. If you do that, you'll become a criminal. You'll only lend it to her if she's in imminent danger, which basically means she's actually facing the criminal who's attacking her at the time you loan it to her, which is basically useless. And the thing is also, by putting in these types of rules, you know, they could still have a background check, but it'd have to be paid out of general revenue. And here's the logic as an economist, since you're asking about Gruber earlier. An economist would tell you, if you're going to put a tax, you want the tax to be borne by the people who are getting the benefit. If you believe the gun control advocates on background checks, they're arguing that crime's going to fall. I don't believe that. But let's say it was true. Then crime is falling for everybody. It's just not falling for the person who's buying a gun.
Right.
And the other thing is, the person who's buying the gun is the last person you want to put a tax on, because they're producing a benefit. The fact that some people out there own guns and the criminals don't know who owns them makes it risky when they break into a home, because they don't know whether that home can defend itself or not. So not only from the benefit side generally do you want to have general revenue pay for it, not just the gun owner who's doing it, but you also don't want to tax the individual gun owner because they're producing benefits for others. And so I think for both, I mean, I'm not trying to make a constitutional argument. I'll leave that to others. But that would be the logic that I think would work there in that case. And also just from pure economics, if they really believe that they're these benefits, then they should have it paid for out of general revenue. You're going to have a voucher or some type of credit that could be given to the FFLs for each one of those transfers that they process.
Yeah, maybe now we need John Roberts, Chief Justice John Roberts, to call a tax what it is, a tax this go-around in this particular case, because it is. There's no question about it. Let me ask you this in the time we have remaining also. Again, this is my belief, I think supported, an educated belief anyway, that what their ultimate goal was in Washington State, they knew they had the numbers in Washington State. That wasn't a random pick. They did it intentionally. With the goal of now, we know, of course, moving into Nevada, and then, of course, we know Arizona's on their hit list as well, that they pick off a few pro-gun states and then do what, John? Go to Washington and claim some type of gun control mandate and try to get something passed federally? Is that right?
Sure. No, I'm sure that's the case. Look, I mean, it got like 59.7% of the vote. It got less than 70%. I mean, at the very least, the claim that they have 90% support, people would hope that, you know, everybody will realize that that was a bit of an exaggeration. It passed, but with a lot less support than they were claiming it would have. But their goal is to pass in enough states. You know, you have these western, relatively pro-gun states, and then put pressure, use that to put pressure on the, you know, senators and representatives from those states to go and vote for them. And you know, they have a lot of money and they have time to go and do this. And but you get something like that passed federally, I think you'd have a real reduction in gun ownership in the United States.
Yeah, that is ultimately their goal, no doubt about it. And fighting that fight, trying to match wallets with several billionaires, is going to be very difficult to do. We're going to find out what Nevadans are up against in the next segment. It is a difficult fight. But it can be won. Freedom is never free. We know that. John, quickly, before we have to fly, your website, crimepreventionresearchcenter.org, or?
Well, they can just go to crimeresearch.org. We got some new posts up there. You know, there's everything from claims about relationships with guns and crimes, with a new FBI report that came out this last week showing that, you know, violent crime has continued to fall as concealed carry permits have increased. Right. And, you know, there's many other debates that are on there, too.
Well, I I guess they're like Obama. They don't want to listen to the fact. They don't want to see the facts in front of them. They want to listen to the voters who didn't vote and claim they're the ones that have the mandate. But that's the humor for the next hour with David Kodry. We'll talk about that. Ladies and gentlemen, you can visit John, as you said, Crime Research, Crime Prevention Research Center.org, or Crime Prevention Research Center is the name of the organization that John runs. And you can search it by topic. And the topics, here's just a taste, the research by the organization. Pre-research, or pre-CRPC, CPRC, excuse me, research about the organization. Background checks, read about it, read what they find. Bloomberg's groups, read about them. Read about the truth about concealed carry. Data from various studies, death penalty, debates, talks, defensive gun uses, gun-free zones, gun show regulations, and on and on and on. John, thank you very much for being here. It's just a wealth of information. I could keep you for hours and hours and hours and do a whole nother show. But we'll continue to push your website throughout the remainder of the program, and thank you for everything that you do, sir.
Oh, sure. No, well, I mean, this is a real battle coming up, and anything I can do to help, let me know. Thank you very much.
You can count on it. We'll be looking to you to come on the show and educate people. Amber Cuno, stick around with us. We're going to go back to you and talk about what we just heard from John Lott right after this here on the Armed American Radio Network. Unbelievable program coming up. Don't go away.
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
You're awakened in the middle of the night to the sound of glass breaking and muffled voices in your house. There's no time to think. This is it. You're forced to use your gun to defend your loved ones from the intruders. But here's the part you never see in the movies. When the smoke clears, you'll have to prove your innocence in a court of law. And that's where the United States Concealed Carry Association comes in. Don't fall victim to a shameless DA or a bleeding heart jury. Activate your USCCA membership today and be instantly protected by up to $1.1 million in legal and financial horsepower. Just visit DefendFamilyNow.com to witness how the USCCA can help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family if you're ever forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. Also, act before midnight on Black Friday, and we'll throw in two special bonuses absolutely free. Just visit DefendFamilyNow.com. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com. Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's Emerson Knives.
This segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, America's no-compromise gun lobby. Become a member today. Visit gunowners.org. Join them, folks. I did. Welcome back.
These guys are your best friends in the world. Gunowners.org. The information that comes from these groups. Let's go back to John Lott for just a minute, for crying out loud. Amber, the guy's a walking, he's just brilliant.
Brilliant.
He has the amount of information he puts out is just, it's difficult to wrap your head around when you dive into his books, as you're finding out now.
Yeah.
That you have to think, you have to be able to think, you have to be able to wrap your head around the numbers that he puts out, but he tells the truth and he confounds the enemies of freedom because they can't argue with facts. They get emotional and then wind up calling him a name.
You know? Exactly.
And that's how you know you, pretty much how you know you've lost the argument, right?
Exactly.
It's like when your son or daughter says, "Oh, Dad, you're just a jerk," and then you know you've won the argument.
Yeah, it's the just because argument. Just because
exactly.
I'm right. Just because I am.
That's exactly right. They can't back it up with fact. We're getting ready to bring in Donald Turner. Donald Turner is the president of the Nevada Firearms Coalition. And I'm going to tell you right now that what you're going to hear is going to anger you. I had no idea the depth that this went where we are today, Amber. And I'm talking about the push that you heard from John about what happened with the ballot initiative in Washington State, of course, as it's now moving to Nevada. We've been telling you on this program for months now that the goal of the Bloomberg camp was to dump tons of money, open the wallet in Washington State, win in Washington State, then move to Nevada. We have told you it was Nevada, and then we told you they're marching to Arizona. Don't doubt us. Donald, welcome to the program for the first time, and it won't be the last. How are you today?
Good evening, everybody. How are you? Pleasure to be with you.
Doing wonderful. Okay, put your seatbelts on for this one. Donald, when you and I spoke today, I was astonished at what I heard come from you about the, let's just say the, I don't want to say gains yet. That's probably not the right word yet. Preface that. Tell us where they're at. What have they done? This has been going on for months behind the scenes Washington.
Last year at the legislative session, they had a state senator who tried to get a background check through. It was pretty draconian. It was very poorly written. Even the Association of Sheriffs and Chiefs came out with a public statement that it was poor law and totally unenforceable. We had a Democratic, liberal-controlled, I hate to use the word Democrats, it was a liberal-controlled Senate and House, and they passed the bill by a slim margin, and the governor vetoed it. The governor had over 98% phone calls and emails to his office asking him to veto it. So this whole business, about 86% of the people supported his horse manure.
It's garbage. But, we know that.
Yes. But what happened was this particular state senator was running for office again, and he actually had a cocktail party in Washington, D.C. by Bloomberg, was helping him raise funds for his election. Well, he organized this ballot petition, and all of a sudden, before we knew it, we knew what was going on in Washington, but the ballot was initiative was filed with the Nevada Secretary of State's office, and we found out that every town for gun safety, quote-unquote, was the registered PAC. The Arizona Nevada state law requires to do a ballot or oppose it, you have to have a PAC. So the official PAC for Nevada for what they call Nevadans for Background Checks is really the Every Town organization with officers in New York City. I mean, then they hired four full-time employees in Nevada. Now, Nevada state law says that you have to have 10% of the registered voters for making the petition valid, signatures from them, and 25% have to come from each of the four congressional districts. Well, three of the major congressional districts are in Clark County, which is where Las Vegas is and where a majority of the population lives, and the other quarter is for basically the rest of the state. So we found out about the petition, and we did some investigation with an attorney, and we found out we had like 7 days to file a lawsuit to, we couldn't stop the petition, but we could challenge some of the points of it. So with backing from some groups, we were able to file a lawsuit, and it was paid for by this other major group. And we challenged it on four different levels, and we won one level. So the court ordered them to rewrite parts of the petition and what they call the description of effect, and that slowed them down for about a month. And then they were, we found out at the Secretary of State's website for Everytown where Bloomberg put in $250,000 just to get it started, plus four full-time employees. So they started doing the petitions, and at first in Clark County, the petition gatherers were making a dollar. They were getting paid a dollar a signature for petitions. And we monitored them. There was nothing we could do to stop it. But we monitored them and found out that they were primarily asking non-white males, because the white males generally were telling them to go pound sand.
Right.
And so they're targeting specific groups. Well, then we noticed as time went on, they got more desperate. So they actually combined the gun background check with the marijuana thing. So they'd walk up to you and say, hey, are you in favor of recreational marijuana? And you said, yeah. They'd say, oh, while you're at it, would you like to sign a petition for gun safety?
More deception.
So that's how they're doing it. Well, as time went on, the deadline was 11th of November. That had to be done by then. As time went on, we found out that they were being paid $5 a signature. And then up in the northern part of the state, where there's more conservative voters, they actually bust in people from Oregon and Washington full-time, bust them in to gather petitions. And they were going door-to-door in the Carson City and Washoe County areas to get signatures. Now, we talked to a couple petition gatherers, and this one gentleman said he had collected over 1,100 signatures, and over 700 of them were invalid. So the
and he knew it, and he knew it.
Well, he knew it, but the thing is, here's kind of a rub. The state requires that each signature page be from a voting district, so they can't mix districts, and they have to verify and check that 100% of the signatures on that page are accurate. Well, the way the state law is, when they're turned in to the county recorders, and we have 17 counties in Nevada, they all have to be turned in on the same day. Bloomberg put out a press release that they collected 275,000 signatures. They only needed 110,000. But the county recorders have to verify the signatures. But if there's a lot of signatures, over 500, they allow them to do a spot check, one every five signatures. Then the county recorders verify that they met the amount. Then it goes to the Secretary of State to find out if they made the required signatures in each of the congressional districts. So they have until January 1 to do that. So we don't know right now if he was successful. But with the amount of money he was putting into it, he paid for the vote, paid for the signatures. So with the amount of money he put into it, we're pretty well assume that he made the threshold for the ballot. Now, what happens in Nevada is the legislature only meets every other year. So the first year, in 2015, the ballot initiative goes in front of the legislature. And the legislature can ignore it, they can pass it, or they can modify it. If they ignore it, it goes on the general election ballot as an initiative in 2016. If they modify it, the modified law goes on as a separate ballot initiative. And if they pass it, of course, then it doesn't go to 2016.
All right, I need you to hold that thought. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, I want to continue right there. I want you to pay very careful attention. I'm giving you homework. If you're listening to this program, you need to start doing some homework. This is what's going on where you live. This is what's going on behind your back under the radar. These guys are crooks. We'll be back right after this.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The Galco SC2 is the perfect concealed carry holster for all seasons. The SC2 is lightweight and comfortable with a snap-on design that allows the holster to attach and detach from your belt without removing the belt itself. Constructed of premium saddle leather, the SC2 utilizes a reinforced thumb brake strap for added retention. Check out the Galco SC2 for semi-automatics and double-action revolvers. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order, visit GalcoGunLeather.com.
The new Tac Slide by Galco Gun Leather combines steer hide and Kydex together for a fast, concealable, and economical holster design. The Tac Slide mates a Kydex holster pocket to a slotted steer hide backplate with an open top and neutral cant to provide the fast and smooth draw. With 1 3/4 inch belt slots, the Tac Slide is worn close to the body for maximum concealment and comfort for under $40. Visit GalcoGunLeather.com today. That's GalcoGunLeather.com. The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today. Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft-coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com. Crossbreed Holsters is proud to offer an addition to our already outstanding belt selection. Introducing the Instructor's Belt. Offering the same quality as our original gun belts and dress belts, the Crossbreed Instructor's Belt offers a clean, buckle-less design intended for a sharp and professional appearance. Sturdy, but not stiff. The Instructor Belt provides even weight distribution of your gun and gear and looks as great out on the town as it does on the range. Crossbreed Holsters. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. CrossbreedHolsters.com. The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant. Often imitated, but never duplicated, the Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you'll meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
For more information and to join the conversation, please visit Armed American Radio on Facebook and armedamericanradio.com. And now, from the Crossbreed Holster Studios, here is Mark Walters.
I love that guy. I love John Young. I just absolutely love John Young from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. The guy's absolutely phenomenal. Amber Cuno.
Walters.
What you're hearing is frightening stuff.
It is. It's maddening.
It's coming to you. Arizona is on that list. And ballot initiatives, wherever you're listening to the program today, I want you to visit a website, National Conference of State Legislators, and I want you to take a look and see if your name is on the initiative and referendum states list. Okay? Head over to ncsl.org, ncsl.org. And I can only tell you this. When organizations like Donald's, and these are grassroots organizations made up of real grassroots people, you, myself, Amber, others, Alan Corwin's, and the whole host of the list of the guests that you hear on this program week after week, when you can get caught, this is the deception that these crooks, this is how they operate. Amber, it's going to, you know, we know they're coming to Arizona. We also know there's a plan in place, right?
Yeah.
To help fight this. But the fact of the matter is, it's difficult to fight billions and billions of dollars. Donald, welcome back.
Thank you.
Stealth. I mean, these guys came in here underneath the radar. Is it safe to say you guys got caught with your pants down here?
Well, what happens is legally you don't know, unless you have somebody on the inside that says, hey, they're in a limo and they're driving to the Secretary of State's office.
You don't know.
You don't know until they file the paperwork. Once they file the paperwork, the clock starts ticking. We have 7 days to respond. Like I said, unless you have somebody on the inside, which the gun rights people do not, you don't know the day they're going to go down and start the clock ticking.
Well, that probably needs to change. Maybe we do need somebody on the inside.
I would think so. But the guys from Arizona called me and they asked me, what would you do in ahead of time? I said, the first thing you got to do is become really, really familiar with the petition laws in your state. You can't wait until they file a petition and then start trying to research laws to find out where the soft spots are.
7 days isn't going to cut the mustard.
Not enough. And the second thing you got to do is start building a war chest, because this stuff takes money. And the Bloomberg tactics, I want to talk about in just a second, and I'd like to go into some of the draconian details of the law. But we had to start a PAC, too. So we are the Nevadans for StateGunRights.com, if anybody wants to check us out.
And all say that one more time. Say that one more time.
Nevadans for StateGunRights.com.
Okay.
That's our PAC, and that's what we're fighting Bloomberg stuff through that. But one of the things that we already had in Nevada is we already had a background check law, except people may call in to get to check a background. But the law said that it was a misdemeanor to sell a firearm to a prohibited possessor, and it was a felony for a prohibited possessor to have a gun. So for the only actual spot we had was the actual going to somebody and saying, is this guy legal to have it or not? So there was just one little spot, and it was hardly ever, you know, abused, and there were penalties on both sides if you gave it to the bad person, because really the crime shouldn't be whether you do a background check or not. The crime should be whether a prohibited possessor is holding the gun.
Right.
We found out last year at the vote for SB 221 that the governor vetoed, we found out after that veto that the courts of Nevada did not submit 10,000 records of mentally adjudicated people to the state register database. So there's 10,000 people out there that could not possess a firearm, and even if you went through the mandatory background check, you still would have sold a firearm to that person because the courts didn't send the information in. And then we find out the police, when they find a prohibited possessor, a lot of times they're confiscating the gun and not arresting the prohibited possessor. So if the government doesn't follow its own laws, how in the hell can they expect putting laws on the back of the citizens to make it better? And like I testified to the state legislature, I said, the problem is it's easy to write a law to make criminals out of good people than it is to write a law to make good people out of criminals.
Well, we saw that in a handful of states after Newtown. You and I both know that. Amber knows that. Anybody that listens to this program every week knows and understands that. There's no doubt about that. But we're going to time is of the essence. So if you would, please tell us what the ultimate goal here is, as you're going to see in Nevada and then roll through across the country. What's their ultimate goal with this?
Well, we're a point of contact state, which means we don't have to do Brady check. The law that they want to pass forces, like if I'm going to sell a gun to you, by law, you and I both have to go to a federal firearms dealer. We have to surrender the gun to the federal firearms dealer. In the proposed law, he has to enter it into his system and be under all the compliance of the federal regulations. And then we have to go back when the background check is completed. If you do not pass the background check, I have to pay to have a background check run on me to get my own gun back. And what really happens is they're putting our personal firearms into the federal system. And they have said on other websites that once they get that done nationwide, they want to amend the Brady Law to make a national firearms register of everybody's guns.
And did you? Okay, hold it right there. Amber, did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
This is registration, and we all know what registration leads to. Don't believe me? We'll be talking about what's happening in New York today in the next hour. And I know, Donald, you're going to stick around with us as well. But this is vitally important, because we tell you every single week the ultimate goal is to rid you of your firearms. They are not doing this because they want you to get a background check. And the key word here, too, another operative word here, Donald, is also transfer, right?
Yes, because what they've done is define transfers any time a gun. I mean, if you are going to the range, say you have a shoot, and you say, "Gee, can I borrow your competition gun while I have a go up and shoot?" And I say, "Yeah," that now makes it a felony for me to do that. You may have to go do a background check. And here's what's really bad: is there's no provision for people under mental health. So if you're detained for a mental health evaluation, you cannot let somebody else have your guns. Now, in Arizona, they have a law that if you're under mental evaluation, you can allow your guns to go to your friends or stuff for safekeeping while you're being evaluated. This petition will make all of that illegal.
So it's another. There's your confiscation right there. It's just another form of confiscation.
Exactly.
They'll pick and choose. They'll pick and choose. They'll fight their fights.
And
under.
What it is he's smart enough to know that his money can overwhelm local grassroots funds. There's just no way you can bring a $50 million war chest to a state organization to fight him.
Well, you have a state of about 200, roughly, I believe, under 3 million, about 2.8 million, maybe close to 3 million by now, maybe a little bit above.
Around 2 to 3 million. We're a small state.
Yeah, well, you know, this is all by design. This is all by design. Arizona, you're listening right now. This is coming to you. Check that website I gave you. And Donald, you're going to stay with us. We're going to continue this conversation with Dave and Codrey in the next hour. We're looking forward to having a fascinating analysis of what we just heard here. David's been listening. Amber, go ahead and hold the phone as well. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom every week. And I tell you every week, man, that's more important than it is. It's more important now than it's ever been before. You've got to pay attention to what's happening in your state. You have to be an intelligent, informed voter. Don't be that low-information voter, please. It's never been more important. Federal-level gun control may be dead for now. They're coming after you where you live, and they're using Bloomberg's money to do it. Carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. We'll be back for some great analysis.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.
You're awakened in the middle of the night to the sound of glass breaking and muffled voices in your house. There's no time to think. This is it. You're forced to use your gun to defend your loved ones from the intruders. But here's the part you never see in the movies. When the smoke clears, you'll have to prove your innocence in a court of law. And that's where the United States Concealed Carry Association comes in. Don't fall victim to a shameless DA or a bleeding heart jury. Activate your USCCA membership today and be instantly protected by up to $1.1 million in legal and financial horsepower. Just visit DefendFamilyNow.com to witness how the USCCA can help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family if you're ever forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. Also, act before midnight on Black Friday, and we'll throw in two special bonuses absolutely free. Just visit DefendFamilyNow.com. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.